How ready is Trey Burton to play running back if he's needed?
He's gotten reps in practice. He obviously doesn't have any game reps, so it's. But I think we feel comfortable, you know, watching him out there. He's not a fish out of water. He's done it before, so he's got some experience at it. He obviously doesn't have the experience that the other guys do, but, you know, it's just one of those deals. When you get to the bottom of a 46-man, you just got to be prepared. It would be no difference if we had to go to an emergency quarterback. You know, you're not confident that he can handle the whole offense, but there's certain plays that you've practiced with him when he's, you know, been in a practice setting. So he probably actually gets more reps at running back than an emergency quarterback does. But when you get down to that last guy, you know, you just got to go with what you got. So.
But how long can you kind of go forward with an emergency guy as your third guy?
Well, I think Chris should, you know, we'll see where he is this week. So, you know, I don't think we'll be going forward much longer. So,
so far in practice,
Polk's look good.
Can you tell the difference
from last week at this time? Just in how
no, honestly,
are?
No.
Who is your emergency quarterback?
Brad Smith.
Get a chance to look at the drug proposal yet? Do you have a sense of if Lane would, in fact?
Now, from what I understand, it's the substance abuse guys that fell into in the off season that really weren't taking a substance. They fell into the PED category, but that's from what I understand now.
In Cox and Kendricks' case, have you come close to seeing the ceiling for either player?
I've never come close to seeing anybody's ceiling, so I don't look at it that way. I don't think anybody has a ceiling. I think everybody can constantly improve, and I always point to the guy, but I look at the guy in Denver. You know, how many years has Peyton been in this league, and his best year was what, last year? So, you know, to talk about a guy 2 or 3 years into it, to talk about a ceiling, I think that's shortchanging the guy. So
what are they doing in their second year in the scheme, the third year in the league, that you didn't see last year?
I think, like everybody, and I know I've said this 1,000 times, but I'll always say it, it's their second year in the system. You know, it's... Everybody was new. Coaches were new. Players were new. Everybody was new. And I said before the season started, I would hope we would be more improved than we were last year because we're a lot more comfortable. They can finish the play call when the play call goes in. They're not like, what am I supposed to do? Ball snap. You know, they know where they're supposed to be. They're taking a look at formations. They're looking at splits. They're looking at little tips of what they're doing. So they're just a lot more comfortable in what the scheme is. So.
You drew 7 offensive linemen against Jacksonville and then disaster kind of struck your one injury away from putting Brent Celek in there. Are you... any thought to maybe dressing 8 this week?
That's what everybody does in the league. If you dress 7 and you get 2 hurt, you're there. I mean, we only dress 3 running backs. I mean, what if 2 guys get hurt there? Then you're in trouble. I mean, there's only one way you can slice up 46, so it depends on how you want to do it. You know, you can say, all right, well, we're going to dress an 8th offensive lineman, but we're only going to dress 4 receivers, and then 2 receivers get hurt. Then what do you do? I mean, it's just there's only so many ways you can do it. You know, we dress 2 quarterbacks on game day. You know, what if – both of those guys get hurt, we'll go back to them. Brad Smith has to play, so then are you going to dress 3 quarterbacks? If you do, you got to take it from somewhere. So there's not an exact science. You know, I think most people, I would say on average, I think almost everybody in the NFL dresses 7 on game day, and you kind of hold your breath and get your fingers crossed. So, but again, all our decisions on who's going to be active and deactive really aren't made till today. They won't be made till this week. They won't be made till Monday. But it really just depends on the health of those guys. You know, if we were going to play somebody that was kind of you're not 100% sure, then you have to dress another guy. We did the same thing. We dressed 4 tight ends last week, but we only dressed 2 running backs. There was a reason for that. So,
Jeff, from what you've seen, what is the Colts defense doing to compensate for the loss of Robert Mathis?
Yeah, it's a tough loss, first and foremost. I mean, I think Robert had 19.5 sacks last year, but they also have some other players. Bjorn Warner's in his second year. He was a first-round draft pick for him at outside linebacker, and is really you start to see his growth. You saw it in the preseason and obviously saw it in the first game. Walden, the other outside linebacker, who actually played with Mathis a lot last year, is a very, very productive player. So I think they were fortunate that they had a first-round draft pick for him that could kind of slide in there and really, really kind of take that load off of their defense, because you did lose a guy who was extremely productive. You know, I think may have led the league. I'm not sure if 19.5 led the league, but if not, it was really, really close to it. So,
Devontae Davis, did they keep him on one side, or did they do that last year? It's hard.
They
to
move a little bit. It just depends on what you give them formationally. A lot of times, you know, if you're giving them slot sets, both corners are on the same side because there's no receivers over there. So they move those guys around a little bit, but they're the two of them, I think, are very – they're equal in terms of their ability to cover, meaning they're both very good. So it's not like one's drastically different than the other. I think they're both really, really good at covering. So I don't think, you know, there's a lot of, hey, they're going to match up one way or another. I think they're going to take their guys and run with them.
With
With Fletcher Cox, one of the things Billy mentioned was how he transitions from his run responsibility to his pass rush better now. Can you kind of explain the technique that goes into doing that or getting better at that?
I just think he's recognizing things better because he's not worried about where he's lining up, just like everybody else on the defensive side of the ball. Michael, like Zach said, Michael's in the same boat. Michael's things are happening a lot. They're able to make decisions a lot quicker because the game is slowed down for them. They're not worried about what is this call, what alignment does this put me in. All of a sudden, ball snapped. As they can, they know it and they've studied it and they've really worked hard at it. And I just think he's processing things a lot faster, so he can go from it's a run into a pass because he understands it. He studied the tape. He's looked at it all, and he's really, really comfortable in terms of what we're doing scheme wise.
Schematically, what Hamilton does, is it similar to what you saw when you were at Stanford?
A little bit, but not. I mean, he's changed as he came into the league. You know, I think there's some things that are a staple. Everybody runs power, and Stanford was a great power running football team. They still do that, but I think a lot of it's different. You know, they used to do a lot of things. You know, going back to the other question, they used to run eight linemen in a game. Well, they don't do. They only dress seven. You know, they used to do a lot of things, heavy offensive line, some of those things. You don't see that stuff as much anymore, just I think because personnel rules have kind of dictated that he can't do that. So there are some similarities, but he's. It's not, you can't turn on Stanford tape and say this is exactly what they're doing.
You've added a replay guy to your staff. Can you tell us, you know, what your thinking is there and what, you know?
Just want to get better at every aspect. I analyze everything after the season and how do we improve upon what we did a year before, and just thought that was the right way to go.
Does it free up Pat?
Pat wasn't the guy. Pat, I think that's a misconception of the way. Pat talked to me because he's on the headset with me, but Pat wasn't the guy making the decision. It was, if we were on offense, Pat's telling me the down and distance, our defensive coaches were looking at, you know, trying to help us out on the defensive side. And if it was a defensive call, then Pat would help us out or whoever was in the box. And those guys were kind of talking about it. Pat's still the guy talking to me on the headset. So, you know, when he consults, we get a, you know, should we challenge, shouldn't we challenge? But I think the misconception was it was just because Pat's the one talking to me, but Pat didn't make all those decisions. He's relaying the information that's been accumulated in the box. The other misconception that goes on there, and I'll make sure everybody understands, is we don't get the same feed all the time that the people on TV get. So, you know, when you get, hey, you should have challenged that because on TV they got that, we're governed by the feed that we get in the box. And in some games, there's been some games where I've asked, should we challenge, and our guys in the box said, we haven't seen a replay yet. And it always seems like it happens when we're on the road. I don't know how that happens, but it's very, very interesting that we never get an opportunity sometimes. And it's happened in two cities specifically this year when I wanted to challenge it, but we didn't get a replay. So it's tough for those guys to tell me, and we're not going to challenge it because it is taking a timeout if they haven't seen it. You know, we're not going to guess on what we saw. And obviously the replay is huge, but you got to be able to see the replay. And I know in two specific incidences we didn't get any replays in the booth. They give you, I wish we could. Maybe someone should have their phone on and they could text them from home, but there's a lot of times when you get after the game, why didn't you challenge it? Well, you know, when you talk to our guys in the booth, that's not what they saw. That's not what they were, the feed that they were given all the time. And it's not always the same as it is on television. So
are there rules in place that you're always supposed to have the television?
From what I understand, yeah. What's that?
Is that crazy that a fan watching at home?
Well, that's why we play eight games at home and eight games on the road, because everything evens out, right?
I guess.
Right? That's how you look at it. I'm a positive-looking guy, so eight times a year we get the best view in the world. So,
in Macklin's case, it seemed the optimism in the past was more based on projection because you hadn't seen him in a game in his offense. Now that you have a larger sample size, what do you know about him in your offense that you didn't know before?
Well, I felt like Mac always fit in terms of what we were doing. I think, you know, you get a chance to watch him play because he wasn't a rookie before he got hurt. So I saw him in games and in film in before I got here. So was excited to get a chance to work with him. I was just disappointed when he got injured a year ago because we just didn't get a chance to work with him. But I thought Mac would be successful in what we did. And what I've seen through the preseason, in our preseason games, and what I saw, you know, against the Jaguars, it's kind of what I thought we were going to get out of him. I think he's got long speed. You know, he's a tough guy to cover. He's a bigger guy. He can get in and out of breaks. He catches the ball extremely well. You know, we're trying to hopefully maybe get him on some shorter routes where he can catch and run, because I know that's a quality, especially, you know, I still remember the highlights of him in college. I think he led the nation in punt returns when he was in college. So, you know, you're still seeing that aspect of his game that we haven't really brought out yet. But what I've seen out of Mac and what I've seen from our training sessions out here and then obviously the preseason games and Jaguar games is what I kind of expected out of Mac.
Was there a key to your special teams coverage being so much better?
Well, I think it's a combination of everything. I think, number one, we kick the ball better, especially from a kickoff standpoint. You know, so you had five touchbacks, and then the two that came out were kind of deep and off, you know, they weren't directly at the returner, so that all of a sudden we get a little bit of chance to cover better. And then on the punt stuff, I think we do a real good job on plus 50 punt. You know, we had five balls downed inside the 20. But I think the addition of some of those newer players, you know, Maragos that, you know, obviously showed up, some other guys that we brought in that are newer. So we got a couple new special teams guys to go along with a new kicker. So I think it's a combination of all of those things. So.
Coach, with the banged up all line, what kind of adjustments do you think we'll see with your game plan and everything? Will it affect anything?
Yeah, you're going to have two new guys in there, but I think we feel comfortable with those guys because they've been in our system. If we're going to play Wade, I think dealing with Wade for the last two or three days, I think he's got a real good grasp of what we're trying to do. He's a highly intelligent football player, just really kind of pleasantly surprised when you sit down and visit with him and talk football with him. He's got a real good knowledge of what we're doing, so I don't think it's going to affect how we're calling plays or doing, you know, what we're calling on game night in terms of what we're going to do against the Colts. Now, if we sustain another injury or two, that could start to become an issue. But right now, we don't anticipate that. So,
last season, the Monday night game was the first game of the year, so it didn't affect the schedule as much. Now that it's during the season, what does it do to your schedule, and especially next week with preparation?
Yeah, we had an extra day off this week, and we have no days off next week. It's really just a difference. So we got to come back and do something on Tuesday when we come back from Indianapolis, because we play a game the following Sunday. We do everything. You know, nothing changes. It's just you just got to kind of compact your week. It's just, this week we were fortunate we had an extra day. You know, so we started our week on Wednesday because we want to be out there, you know, the certain amount of days before the game. So this week, next week we won't have a day off. We'll play on Monday and then we're back at it on Tuesday. So.